Bibles, if you have them with you, to Psalm 119. We'll be there in just a moment. Psalm 119. You know, speed limits can be so frustrating, especially when you're on your way to church on Sunday morning and you're running late and you want to go a little faster, you need to, but that speed limit sign says 40 or maybe 35. It's so limiting. I guess that's why they call them speed limits. And yet, I'm so grateful for our traffic laws. I mean, they're a necessary nuisance, but they're so good, too. When I was in Madagascar for 1 month, almost 20 years ago, I got to spend a month there with some missionaries, and they drove me around in the city and out in the countryside, too. We were stationed just outside the capital city of Madagascar. And in the downtown area, I remember noticing how the traffic worked. And it was a mess. So congested. I mean, Seattle gets congested, but people can move around still. You do get where you're trying to go. But in this capital city, it's so congested. People didn't follow the traffic signals. Lanes were sort of optional. People going this way just kind of all crowded together and moved in a big mass, and it was a mess. It produced gridlock. And then out in the countryside, we were traveling through the countryside, quite a ways out of town, not much out there except jungle. And I remember at one point we were coming down a hill and around a sharp curve, and a medium-sized truck came up the other direction, cut that corner a little too sharply, and scraped up against us and almost pushed us off the road. I mean, I felt the car tipping. And they knocked the side view mirror off completely, scratched up the paint. And you know, there was nothing we could do. The driver, you know, of the truck, he didn't stop. He just went, he saw we weren't dead, and so he went on. And there was nothing we could do. We couldn't call the police. We didn't have any way to contact them. If we had, we probably wouldn't have called them anyway, because they probably wouldn't have helped us much. There is no way to be compensated for damage to your vehicle caused by someone else. Here, insurance is required. There are speed limits. You're supposed to stay in your lane and obey the traffic lights. And that, though it seems restrictive, makes for a better, faster, smoother driving experience. Dr. Collette was my chemistry teacher in high school for chemistry and advanced chemistry. He was a good one of my favorite teachers. He taught us some of the laws of nature by which we create all sorts of useful and dangerous chemicals. And as we were working on our labs and using all these various chemicals, he gave us strict rules for our safety so that as we were conducting our experiments, we could work with these various poisons and combustibles. And to the best of my recollection, no one died in our chemistry classes. I don't think anybody got poisoned, and I'm pretty sure nobody even had to use the emergency shower to wash off, you know, an acid off of their skin or out of their eyes. And so I'm very grateful for those rules he taught us that gave us the ability to use these chemicals and to learn about them. Dr. James Dobson, who is the founder of Focus on the Family. In his 1982 book, Dr. Dobson Answers Your Questions About Raising Children, tells it of one question he received. Someone asked why in this age of freedom and democracy in the home, Dr. Dobson could insist that children need the security of discipline and structure. Just seems so against the times. And his answer was, he began by saying, imagine crossing that magnificent bridge over the Royal Gorge in Colorado. There's a picture of it there. 956 feet above the Arkansas River. You could fit the entire Empire State Building under that bridge, if I understand correctly. If there were no fences or guardrails on either side of the bridge, how would you drive across that bridge? You would stay right in the middle, wouldn't you? Just to keep safe? But there are fences and guardrails there for safety. So you can go, you know, you can drive in your lane and people can go both ways. And if you're on foot, you can walk right to the edge and look down all the way to the bottom and enjoy that tremendous view in safety. And so paradoxically, there is more freedom because these barriers have been set up wisely. It's the same with kids, Dr. Dobson said. He cites an experiment in which preschoolers who apparently were used to playing in a playground that had fences around the edges were allowed to play in a schoolyard without a fence. And as it turned out, they stayed near the center of the yard the whole time. They wouldn't go out to the edge of the playground. It's like they didn't know if that was safe or not. And he says, in the home, it's the same. If our children have clear, well-placed boundaries and rules, they feel more safe because they know where the limits are. And so they stay out of trouble more, and they end up having greater freedom and greater joy, greater acceptance than if they had no boundaries or if they were allowed to just kind of make up their own boundaries. Well, we human beings need wise boundaries. We need traffic laws. We need safety regulations. And when we're young, we need parental guidance. We just need wise boundaries. One of the great benefits that we have as people who know God is that He loves us the way that an excellent parent loves their children. And so, like a good parent, He gives us guidance in how we should live. He gives us His rules, His instructions, His commands. We call these all together God's laws. And we don't much like that word law. It seems so restrictive, so oppressive. But God's laws are not oppressive. Paradoxically, just like traffic laws, they actually give us freedom. They tell us what not to do, but they do not oppress. They keep us from the edge of sin and the long fall that comes with it. By protecting us from sinful behaviors, they give us freedom to cross all of life's high bridges. And so our text this morning is some selections from Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. Actually, it's not really a chapter. The book of Psalms doesn't actually have chapters. It has psalms, these songs, these prayers. Psalm 119 is the longest of the Psalms, and it's longer than any chapter also. Let's begin with the first stanza right at the beginning, Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow His ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying Your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all Your commands. I will praise You with an upright heart as I learn Your righteous laws. I will obey Your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Well, the writer begins with this idea that those who keep God's laws are blessed. He uses that word blessed twice, verse 1 and verse 2. Those who walk according to the law of the Lord and those who keep His statutes, His rules, are blessed. God's laws are good for us. They bring a blessing. Specifically in verse 1 and verse 3, they keep us from doing wrong and they keep us blameless. The Lord teaches us what not to do. And He also teaches us what kinds of things to do. So that as we learn to follow His commands, He makes all of our ways good and wholesome. He teaches us how to do those things that make life better, not worse. He teaches us how to become people of greater integrity, how to be people who do what is right. My parents, when I was little, taught me not to lie. Taught me not to steal, not to be lazy, that one was kind of tough. Not to throw things at my little sister, that one was really hard. They were so restrictive, my parents. But of course, as I grew up and now today, I'm so appreciative of how they taught me, how they taught me what to do and what not to do. How much more do we appreciate God for His laws? Let's go to verse 9. This is the second stanza of this psalm. Psalm 119 has 22 stanzas, each 8 verses long. Each one begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which has 22 letters. And each verse in each stanza also begins with that letter of that stanza. And so verse 9. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. We just sang that a minute ago. How shall the young secure their hearts? I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. This stanza celebrates how God's laws produce joyful inner transformation as we live them out. In verse 10, the writer says, I seek you with all my heart. And so I want to stay close to your commands. In verse 9, God's word keeps our path pure when we're young. Verse 11, it keeps us from sinning against God. And so recognizing this, we internalize God's word. And the writer gives us 3 ways that we might do that. Verse 11, we hide God's word in our hearts. You know, we put it there, we keep it close to us. Verse 13, we memorize his laws so that we can recount them with our lips, so that we can recite them from memory. We memorize God's word so that it's there when we need it and it just comes right out. Verse 15, we meditate on God's commands and consider his ways. Some things in Scripture are difficult to understand. Some of them take a long time to really digest. And so we meditate on God's commands, and we consider his ways. We think about these things over and over. We believe that God's commands are good for us, and we become more and more convinced of that as we experience their goodness as we put them into practice. And so we internalize his commands. We memorize them. We keep them in our hearts. We meditate on them. We make them a part of our daily lives and incorporate them into the way we think every day about everything. Romans 12, verse 2, I think is just one of the most important verses in the New Testament. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So memorizing God's laws, meditating on them, internalizing them, these are ways that we let God renew our minds so that we learn how to avoid sin. And how to escape temptation, and how to invest ourselves in what is good. I've noticed that over the years, I have tended to watch less and less broadcast and cable TV, just anything with commercials. Part of that is there are other options now, and I really appreciate that. It's a lot more fun to watch a show with no commercial interruptions. But part of it, too, I've noticed is that at least half of the commercials on TV entice me to wish that I had what someone else has, what I see this person on TV having. And that just conflicts with what I learned from God's word. Because in Scripture, I learned not to covet another person's iPhone and not to envy their good looks. Because on TV, they sure look good. But I learned from Scripture to be content with what God has given me. And that's been so good for me. It keeps me from stealing. It keeps me from being jealous. Helps me to have a better, more grateful attitude. God's laws are good for us. They transform us from the inside out as we put them into practice in our lives. Verse 57 You are my portion, Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. The earth is filled with your love, Lord. Teach me your decrees. Notice the passion in this stanza. Verse 57. I have promised to obey your words. I have made a commitment, and I'm going to keep it. Verse 58. I have sought your face with all my heart. This is what I want the most. Verse 59. I have turned my steps to your statutes. That could be the language of repentance, that I used to be going this way, but when I found out what you wanted, I turned my steps and I'm going this way now. Or it could just be that continuous, God leads us that way, okay, I'm going to go that way too. God leads us this other way, I'm going to go that way with him. I'm going to walk in the direction of God's laws. Verse 60, I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. This is important, I will get right to it. Verse 61, even though the wicked bind me, oppress me, I will not forget your law. So even when there's pressure from the people around me or from society or from the culture, I will still not forget what you want me to do. I will do it. Verse 62, I get up at midnight to give you thanks for your laws. So even in the middle of the night, your laws are important to me. And when I wake up in the middle of the night, I give you thanks. There is deep passion here. As we live out God's laws, we grow in passion for following them. The more we walk with God and see good results, the more we love to walk with God because his ways are so good for us. In verse 64, the writer says, the earth is filled with your love, Lord. Teach me your decrees. To Israel, God's laws were a sign of his love. His love fills the earth in all of creation as he gives order to all things, and in our own lives as he brings us order and goodness and peace and even freedom through his laws. And so Israel, when they looked at God giving them the law through Moses, they saw that as a sign of God's goodness. God loves us. He gave us his laws to order our lives. Now, the law, specifically the law of Moses, the law that God gave to Israel to follow back in Moses' time, the law tends to get a bad rap among Christians. And that might be because we understand so clearly that Paul taught us that God has set aside all the requirements of the Jewish law through the death of Jesus. The death of Jesus becomes our great sacrifice. We don't need the sacrifices of the law. And it's through Jesus that we come to God, not through the priests or the temple or anything like that. And so we don't follow the law anymore. We follow Jesus. But if God gave us something good in the law and then later replaced it with something even better in Jesus, that does not in any way mean that what came first was bad. Not at all. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 1, verse 8, we know that the law is good if one uses it properly. The problem with the Jewish law was not that there was anything wrong with the law itself, but it was with how some of the Jews used it. Some of them tended to put their hope in it instead of in the God who had given it to them. And that, of course, always results in legalistic behavior, trying to follow the laws but not really building that relationship with God. But God's laws in themselves are very good because God himself who gave them is very good. And all the more so now that God's laws are rooted not just in God's covenant with Israel, but in the infinitely more immense covenant with the whole world that God offers through Jesus. For Christians, all of God's commands lead us to develop within ourselves the character of Christ, who himself exemplifies what it means to be a person, a human being, living out the image of God that was created within us. And so back to Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. The first line here expresses how the faithful in ancient Israel felt about God's laws. Oh, how I love your law. They appreciated God's laws. God's laws were his love for Israel wrapped up into guidance for their lives. Among the benefits of God's laws is this. God's laws feed us sweet wisdom. They feed us sweet wisdom. In verses 103 and 104, the writer says, God's words are sweet to the taste, sweeter than honey. And they taste so good because they give us understanding, which then matures our perspective so that we don't even want anything that would do harm to us or anyone else anymore. We learn to hate every wrong path. We get to the point where when we see someone sin, it grieves us inside because we understand through the wisdom God has taught us what that's doing to their lives or to someone else's life and the harm that it brings. And so we learn to hate every wrong path. And as we feed on God's laws, they make us wiser and wiser. And the writer gives us a list here. He says in verse 98, they make us wiser than our enemies. In verse 99, we get more insight than all our teachers. In verse 100, we get more understanding than the elders. God's commands nourish us with such wisdom that as we feed on them, we can outpace our enemies and even our teachers and our elders, because the wisdom God offers is greater than our enemies' wisdom and surpasses the knowledge of our teachers and even surpasses the vast experience of our elders. Unless, of course, our elders themselves are nourished by the laws of God. Greatly blessed is the family or the community or the church whose elders themselves find their nourishment in the wisdom of God's laws. Verse 129. I don't often get to say that in a sermon, so I'll say it again. Verse 129. Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from human oppression that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine on your servant and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. Your statutes are wonderful, the writer says, verse 129. Over and over again, the writer in Psalm 119 declares that God's laws are good and that he will obey them. They're like light in the darkness. God's laws give light and direct us. They're like when you need to go to a relative's house for Christmas, but that relative moved recently, so you'll be getting out your GPS device, right? Or maybe the map app on your phone, and it'll guide you there. It'll show you how to get there. Or it's like the time that I got lost in the forest out in Missouri. We were camping out, a group of us, and I wandered off into the woods, thought I could find my way right back. And when I came back, I wasn't where I thought I would be. And so I wandered, trying to find my way, and it was getting late, and the sun was getting low in the west, and I was starting to think about what I would need to do to survive the night out in the woods. And then I found a trail, and I was so excited. I ran, and it turned out to be a trail we'd been on. I knew where I was. I was so thrilled and got back to the camp safely. God's laws give us guidance just when we need it. God's laws are like how I imagine what it must have been like when those first rescuers reached those three people trapped in a West Virginia coal mine this past week. No food, no water, no light for 4 days. Just stuck there by themselves. And when seeing that first light, having someone to lead them out and help them along the way, someone to guide them, that must have been such a wonderful moment. One of the survivors in an interview that I saw told reporters that when he saw the first light coming, he said, "There's our guardian angel." God's laws give us light. They give understanding to the simple. They make us wiser than we were before. So verse 132 says, "Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me." God mercifully directs those who love his name so that no sin may rule over us. His guidance in our lives is a sign of his mercy. Just as laws against entering closed coal mines come from a desire to protect lives, so God's laws guard us against sin because God loves us and is deeply concerned for us. Let's look at one more stanza, verse 161. "Rulers persecute me without cause, but my heart trembles at your word. I rejoice in your promise like one who finds great spoil. I hate and detest falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day, I praise you for your righteous laws. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. I wait for your salvation, Lord, and I follow your commands. I obey your statutes, for I love them greatly. I obey your precepts and your statutes, for all my ways are known to you." As we live out God's laws, we grow in love for them. 3 times in this stanza, verse 163, 165, and 167, the writer mentions loving God's laws. In 164, he praises God 7 times a day for his righteous laws. Now, most days I don't stop and consciously think how much I appreciate our traffic laws. I just drive. You know, I just drive, try to follow the law. But when I do stop and think about it, I remember how traffic works in Madagascar or in Honduras, for those of you who have been there. And I sure am grateful. But with God's laws for our lives, I often find myself feeling a lot like this writer. God's laws are so good that I love them, and I praise him for giving them to us, and I want very much to obey them. We need God's laws. They give us wisdom and light. They keep our ways pure. They protect us from sin. God's laws are a sign of God's great love for us. So in this lesson series, we've been focusing on ways that we can love God more in response to his magnificent love for us. One way we can love God more is modeled for us here in Psalm 119. Treasure God's laws and obey them. Those who love God delight in his laws, praise him for his laws, and like loving children with their good parents, obey God's laws. God has invited us to be his children. And if we come to him as his children, he trains us and he gives us good instruction to guide our lives. We need that. Sometimes we need to cross a scary bridge in life. And we need the boundaries that God gives us so that we know we won't fall off, so that we can go across that bridge with security and confidence. Sometimes we just need to know where the boundaries are so that we can flourish in the freedom, in the space that God provides to us. And so we love God for his kindness in giving us his laws to guide us. And so let us then show our love for God by appreciating his laws and by obeying them. And may God bless you as you do so. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for your laws, for your commands are very good for us. Please continue to teach us and guide us. We appreciate it so much, Lord. It makes our lives better, and we see that more and more as the years go by. Dear God, bless and guide your people, and make us people who dig deeply into your word and who learn it well and who meditate on it. And Lord, wherever we're at in that process as a church and individually, whether we're at the beginning of that process or deep into it, Lord, bless us and guide us, for we are seeking your ways. And we know that your ways are good for us. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you for not leaving us out there on our own. Thank you most of all for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.